This is so unusual in situations like this that it should be reported under new humour regulations. If it had hit a duck, which quacked and then landed on somebody's head, this would of course been very droll and would certainly have been reported. Instead, it drifted in the breeze a little and landed in an oak tree some 30 feet away, where it missed a squirrel. Maledict sat down with his head in his hands. "We're all gonna die," he said. The troopers shifted as though to stand up, and Jade raised her sapling.
"Don't even think about it," she said.
Polly turned to the writer man. "You want us to talk to you, sir? Then you talk to us. Is this about Prince Heinrich's socks?" Maledict stood up in one mad movement. "I say we grease the lot of them and go home," he said to no one in particular. "One, two, three, what are we fighting for?"
"Socks," said the writer, looking nervously at the vampire. "What have socks got to do with it?"
"I just gave you an order, Polly," said Maledict.
"What is it you think we don't know?" Polly insisted, glaring at de Worde.
"Well, to start with, you're just about all that's left of the ins and outs."
"That's not true."
"Oh, there's prisoners and wounded, I think. But why should I lie to you?"
"Why did he call you Polly?"
"Because I know a lot about birds," said Polly, mentally cursing.
"How do you know what's been happening to the regiment?"
"Because it's my job to know things," said the man. "What's that bird up there?"
Polly glanced up.
"I don't have time for stupid games," she said. "And that's a..." She stopped. Something was wheeling high above in the forbidden blue.
"You don't know?" said de Worde.
"Yes, of course I know," said Polly irritably. "It's a white-necked buzzard. But I thought they never came this far into the mountains. I only ever saw one in a book." She raised her bow again and tried to take control. "Am I right, Mr. It's My Job to Know Things?"
De Worde raised his hands again and gave her a sickly smile.
"Probably," he said. "I live in a city. I know sparrows from starlings. After that, everything's a duck as far as I'm concerned."
Polly glared at him.
"Look, please," said the man. "You need to listen to me. You need to know things before it's too late."
Polly lowered the bow.
"If you want to talk to us, wait here," she said. "Corporal, we are leaving. Carborundum, pick up those troopers."
"Hold it," said Maledict. "Who's the corporal in his squad?"
"You are," said Polly, "and you're drooling and swaying and your eyes look weird. So what was your point, please?"
Maledict considered this. Polly was tired and frightened, and somewhere inside this was all being transmuted into anger. Hers was not an expression you wanted to see at the far end of a crossbow. An arrow couldn't kill a vampire, but that didn't mean it didn't hurt.
"You're right," he said. "Carborundum, pick up those troopers. We are leaving."
There was a bird whistle as Polly neared the hiding place. She identified this one as the sound of a very bad bird impersonator, and made a note to teach the girls some bird calls that at least sounded real. They were harder to do than most people thought. The squad were in the gully, armed and at least looking dangerous. There was a certain amount of relaxation when they saw Jade carrying the two bound troopers. Two more were sitting disconsolately against the cliff, hands tied behind them. Maledict walked smartly up to Blouse and saluted.
"Two prisoners, LT, and Perks thinks there's someone down there you ought to talk to."
He leaned forward.
"The newspaper man, sir."
"Then we'll jolly well keep well away from him, then," said Blouse. "Eh, Sergeant?"
"Right, sir," said Jackram. "Nothing but trouble, sir."
Polly saluted madly. "Please, sir, permission to speak, sir."
"Yes, Perks," said Blouse. Polly saw there was one chance and one only. She had to find out about Paul. Now her mind worked as fast as it had on the hill last night, when she'd gone for the man with the code book.
"Sir, I don't know if he's worth talking to, sir, but he may be worth listening to, even if you think he'll only tell us lies, because sometimes, sir, the way people tell you lies, if they tell you enough lies, well, they sort of show you what shape the truth is, sir. And we don't have to tell him the truth, sir. We could lie to him too."
"I'm not by nature an untruthful man, Perks," said Blouse coldly.
"Glad to hear it, sir. Are we winning the war, sir?"
"You stop that right now, Perks," Jackram roared.
"It was only a question, Sarge," said Polly reproachfully.
Around the clearing the squad waited, ears sucking up every sound. Everyone knew the answer. They waited for it to be said aloud.
"Perks, this kind of talk spreads despondency," Blouse began. But he said it as if he didn't believe it and didn't care who knew.
"No, sir, it doesn't really. It's better than being lied to," said Polly. She changed her voice.
gave it that edge her mother used to use on her when she was being scolded. It's evil to lie. No one likes a liar. Tell me the truth, please.